The first is defined as a thief. This is the first way that shalom was broken. This is how it got broken in the first place. Because human beings decided, you know what? I think I know better than my Creator. I think He can't be trusted. I'll have to do this on my own to feel right. And so that's what we did. And we've done it ever since. We choose to believe that something else will provide our deepest sense of longing, some form of idolatry that will make us feel better about ourselves. And it's a thief. Here's the reality. How many people ate so much Easter candy that their stomach felt better? Kids? Did you know that you can eat 100 pieces of candy and it'll make you want to throw up? But when you see it in the basket, you think, oh, if I could just eat it all, I would feel so much better. You ever watch so much porn that you felt really good about going out and talking to every girl you could meet? Doesn't work that way. Doesn't build your confidence. Or you ever lied so much and so deeply that you became a better person? I'll tell you a story. I don't know if I've told this here or not. When I was in college, it's sort of a long story, but I dropped out of college, became a Christian, went back to college, and sort of intentionally plugged in, like, just with a whole new group of people. With the Christian ministry, Campus Crusade, or Crew, as it's called now. I still can't get used to that. But kind of connected to this community of believers, and I didn't know any of them when I had been there before. Well, this was in the early 90s, and at that time, George Strait was famous. You know, the movie 7 Seconds? Yeah, or 8 Seconds, whatever. 8 Seconds, right? I'm not. You see, obviously I know nothing about bull riding. I had boots and a hat. I mean, the whole get up. And it was a big deal. Kids, it really was. It was like mullets, you know? There was a time. There really was. And so I go back to college, meet a whole new group of people, and at this time in my life, I really thought it would be cool to have been a bull rider. And so I told these people that I'm getting to know for the first time, oh yeah, I've ridden a few bulls. I don't think I've ever been in the same vicinity of a bull. But for some reason, there was something, even, I hope I'm not the only one that's made up some outrageous thing and then told it, you know, sold that like it was the truth. Well, so this happened, and I'm getting to know these people, and then for like 2 or 3 years, truly, because it took me about 6 years to get out of college, for at least 2 or 3 years, I was like, people were coming to me, like bringing people and saying, hey, this guy used to ride bulls, you got to tell him about it. So this is a part of my story now, what do, right? And so, anyway, I'm in this Bible study, and these guys I have been very good friends with for years at this point. And our leader gives us this, I don't even know what was on it, this like self-evaluation sheet where you kind of had to spend a few minutes thinking about it and asking yourself some questions. And afterwards, he's like, okay, anybody have anything they want to share? I look up and I'm like, guys, I never rode a bull. It didn't make me feel better. The idolatry that I believed would make me a better person did not work. But these idols, all of them, whatever it is, exists because we long for shalom. We want to be respected, admired, want to be acknowledged. We want accomplishment. We want people to come and say, wow, we want to be loved. There's this threefold reality that goes on in our hearts. Our deepest need for every single one of us is to be known, and to be loved. We will settle for being loved and not known. And our deepest fear is to be known and not loved. That would crush us. And idols provide us with the illusion, you know, it's not real love. They allow us to feel loved, admired, respected, and never, ever will they know us. So we settle for that. But the thief, according to verse 10, kills, steals, and destroys. Bull riding, that whole story, it stole respect in the short run anyway. Maybe when it all came out, they're like, at least came clean. But it stole respect. For 3 years, you lied to us. And, you know, honestly, even in the meantime, it stole deeper friendships. Because every time somebody looked at me and said, oh, you used to ride bulls, I feel guilty. I'm not known. You don't know me. You think you love me, but you don't even know me. The lie did not meet the need it was intended to meet. Right now, because of porn, I've read these studies, there are 18-year-old boys who don't know anything about how to relate to a woman. They've never had a conversation with a girl because they'd rather be in their mom's basement. It destroys relationships. Abusing alcohol and drugs will literally kill you. Idols steal, destroy, and kill. Every time. They don't always have to be bad. What do you keep returning to? What is it? We all have things that we return to in order to find shalom. Maybe it's a relationship you know you shouldn't be in. Maybe it's, you know, addiction. Maybe it's good things. Maybe it's your to-do list. Maybe it's your own personal holiness. Maybe if you can overcome these things, well, then you'll feel a little better about yourself. That's not it either. How is it killing your soul? Are you truly being known? Are you really being loved? Or is it providing some illusion that lets you feel like you're tasting shalom even though you're not? You're putting up a front the whole time. But there is one who already knows us, and he already loves us. And that's the second promise of shalom. It's the good shepherd. It says he leads us to pastures. What does that mean? Fulfillment. Again, verse 10. I have come that they might have life and have it abundantly. The thief comes to steal, kill, destroy. I provide abundant life. We've seen how the thief, the promise, is false, how it destroys us and kills us. What does Jesus do? How is this fulfillment, this abundant life, what does that look like? Well, let's see. Just a few verses from John, or a few paraphrases from John. The world will hate you. That's one. Pick up your cross and carry me. You know, Jesus, this is something Jesus told his followers. They're walking along the road one day. More than likely, because this is the Roman world, more than likely there were people hanging on crosses on the hillside. And people come and they're like, Jesus, what can we do to follow you? He's like, pick up your cross and follow me. Okay, wait a minute. And he says, I think this is in Matthew, he says, count the cost. Count the cost. Before you decide to come follow me, figure out what it's going to cost you. So here I am saying to you, Jesus offers green pastures and abundant life, which, by the way, might kill you. How is that fulfillment? How is that the shalom that's promised? Because that's first of all, right then and there, we get a taste. We get a real taste of shalom. I was reminded, thinking through, what does it mean to have a taste of shalom? When we were in Ethiopia, when just the four of us were there the first time, we were at the red light district. the most horrible place I have ever been in my life, without exception. I can absolutely say I've never been anywhere. I've been to Auschwitz. And I've never seen anything as bad as that. And as we're driving through in the bus and we see all the just horror, there's this huge, tall, this tall off the floor, one stem, this beautiful, big, bright orange flower. And I thought, wow, I mean, there's even God is so gracious as to provide a hint of beauty in a place like this. I saw this too yesterday. Good Friday without Easter is despair, hopelessness. Easter without Good Friday is fake sweetener, Splenda. But to have them both together is to be one that is groaning with hope. Groaning because, yes, maybe we are known. But with hope because we're loved. Despair is to be known and not loved. Fake sweetener is to be loved but not known. But to groan with hope is to be known and to be loved. And that, even though it might cost us our lives, is worth it. And second, Jesus lays down his life. That's what it says here. Gives that picture of the wolf. Wolf comes to eat and destroy, steal, kill, destroy the sheep. And Jesus goes and he says no. And he dies instead of letting the sheep die. So what is that fake, that thief? What is that wolf? What really kills us? Maybe Satan. We've heard that. Or, yeah, he leads us there. I mean, Satan is very real. And he is active. And he is roaring, trying to kill us. He is. What's his weapon? Idolatry. That's what he's going to use. Idolatry kills us. And Jesus stands in front of it to give us a better promise of shalom so that we don't have to. So we don't have to die. What does Jesus' death and resurrection accomplish? There's a few things. There's a lot of things, but here's a few, okay? So don't say you forgot this, please. I know there's more. It proves his love for us. Anybody, you know anybody would die for you? You probably do. They love you. It applies to us. It's just, it's still April. We are fiscally in the black. Some of you get that. It's on us. That is our death and our new life that he gives us. It is ours. Defeats the curse of death. The very first curse, God, Adam and Eve choose, you know what, we know better than you, God. Okay, now you're going to die. And that death will apply to everyone that is ever born because of you. Now death is conquered. We have one of us who has broken, burst out of the grave. It demonstrates also his authority and his power. He said here in our text, I have the authority to take up my own life. And then he proved it. And ultimately, it causes those who hear his voice to fall down and worship. And that rescues us from idolatry. See the other thing here. It says, they know his voice. His sheep know his voice. So I just want to take a minute. And I want to ask, whose voice are you listening to? What's the strongest voices in your life? Is it the voice of the idols? I can't wait until I get out of here so I can go fill in the blank. You know, what is it that promises shalom and you listen to? And then what is the voice of Jesus, the one who died for you? What is it saying? What is he saying to you? Maybe he's asking you to just take a step of greater faith. Maybe he's saying to you next week when you come in, sit on the back row, sit on the front row. That's up to you. But if he is, you need to listen. You need to listen to his voice, because that is the voice of freedom calling you. Maybe you hear the voice of Jesus, maybe even for the first time. Here's what I would say. I would encourage you. I don't do altar calls for two reasons. I don't want you to come down because you feel like you have to. I want you to come down for a show. I don't do that, and I rarely ever even do this, but I feel like there might be somebody here this morning who is thinking, man, I've been chasing after idols my whole life, and I finally feel like Jesus is calling to me. You got this piece of paper? You got a bulletin? I have my email, my phone number. Call me. You can go to our website. You can get on Facebook. It's all on there. You can contact me and tell me, talk to me. Pastor, I made a decision this morning. I felt like Jesus was calling to me. Maybe it's just moving forward. Maybe it's giving 20% instead of 10%. I don't know. I don't know what God might be saying to you. But whatever it is that the voice of your Savior is saying to you, I am begging you to answer it. Answer it now before it's too late, and tell somebody. Because it's really easy. It's really easy to say, yeah, I'm going to do that, and then Monday morning comes. So let me know. Or now. Y'all got smartphones. Get on there. Send me a text or a Facebook. Or tell somebody around you that loves you. Let's pray. Jesus, you are our rescuer. Pray that if there's somebody here this morning that they just simply acknowledge that they are a sinner, an idolater, just like me, and they need you. In fact, I pray that every heart in this room this morning says, I'm an idolater, and I need Jesus. Cause us to fall down and worship you. And Jesus, I pray that we all would sense your voice calling us, and that we would respond however you're leading us. It's in your name. Amen.